Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Ephesus, the sixth chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The man sitting next to me at the basketball game was completely emotionally not interested in the game. What I mean by that is usually you can tell who someone is cheering for by little clapping or things that they say. But this man was completely emotionally not interested in the game, and he had a pad of paper on his lap, and he was writing notes frantically during the game. It finally dawned on me, he's a coach for an upcoming opponent of one of these teams. And I talked to him at halftime, and sure enough, that was the case. He was trying to figure out what are the best weapons of this team so that when we play them a week from now, we'll know how to defeat them. This principle works also in warfare. Quite often, countries will send spies to do espionage inside of another nation in hopes of trying to learn, hopefully getting inside of their military if possible, learn what their best weapons and things might be. Knowing that if you can take away your enemy's best weapon, you have a much greater chance of defeating him. The words of our text speak about a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle. They're very familiar to us from Ephesians chapter 6. St. Paul is addressing Christians here who've been brought to faith in Christ, have come to know him as their Lord and Savior, the one who went to the cross to shed his blood, innocent blood, to pay for all of the crimes against God we've ever committed, to wipe them clean so that you and I could know we're completely forgiven. The Savior that gives us his holy righteousness as if it's now our own before God. The one that gives us the promise of going to heaven someday to live forever. And all of that is ours through this precious gift of faith in our Savior. St. Paul is writing to Christians like that who have come by the work of the Holy Spirit, come to grab that, appreciate it, understand it, and love it. And now he speaks to them about a variety of things that can be used to ward off our enemies of this faith. But one of those is the gift of prayer. This week, the sixth week of Easter, was often a week that the church would focus on this wonderful gift of prayer as our Lord now this week ascends to heaven and brings our petitions and our requests right before the throne of God in heaven. So Christ has armed us with a tremendously valuable weapon in the fight against the enemies of our faith, and that is this blessed gift of prayer. It's one of the gifts and presents that God gives to us because of the cross. The cross gives us a lot of gifts and presents: forgiveness of sins, power over sin, power over death, power over the devil, our own future resurrection to heaven. But along with those presents, there's one more present that's given to us as well, and that is this gift of petitioning God in heaven. And sometimes, if you're like me, we've had this so much in our life that we just forget how special it is. And that really came home to me one day after chapel, about 6-7 years ago. A student on our campus who had never heard of Christianity before, grown up in a foreign country, had been here for about a month. And she came up to me after chapel one day and was now becoming very interested in the Christian faith. And she saw the word prayer in the bulletin and she held it to me and she said, "What does this word mean?" And I said, "It means to pray." She said, "What does it mean to pray?" I said, "Well, you talk to God." And she said, "You talk to God?" She just couldn't believe that we would be allowed to do that. There was an awe in her voice. Forget just how wonderfully full of awe this gift and this present is that our Savior has won for us. He's paid for it with his blood, so that you and I could come before him with any petition that we want. We have gained access to the ear of God, St. Paul says, through this faith we possess in Christ. So Paul says to us, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's a tremendous weapon in this warfare. But that also means that our enemies are going to try to take this away from us. The enemies of your faith do not want you to use this weapon because it has such tremendous benefit in the warfare for us to stay in our faith and ultimately get to heaven. The world around us hates the fact that we love prayer. It mocks us for it. It makes fun of us. That's why it's hard for us even to go into a restaurant and feel that we can bow our heads and say a prayer without everybody looking at us and making fun of us or noting it, because we know the world thinks this is ridiculous. And that little amount of shame sometimes is just enough to hold us back from even utilizing prayer. My sinful flesh, likewise, speaks to me against prayer. It tries to get me to forget it. It tries to get me to think how irrelevant it is, and that it doesn't really matter, that it really doesn't have the blessings and the gifts that Jesus says. And I don't use it as much as I should because of that. Martin Luther said this, "Whoever wants to be a Christian should turn a little red in the face and be ashamed of himself before Christ for not taking advantage of this gift." That's true, I think, for a lot of us. We just don't utilize this gift as much as we should. We think of it, we're tempted to think of it as a meaningless exercise and downplaying its significance and its power. Or maybe it's a sin that we love and that we're trying to hold on to. We just don't want to quite let go of it. And we know that prayer kind of forces us to have to be honest and face God for once. And it's just a little too difficult to do. Have you ever noticed, I know this for myself, have you ever noticed in your spiritual life that the more intense you are about your faith in Christ, quite often your prayer life is intensified too, and the converse is true. The more you want to hold on to a sin and don't want to listen to Christ, quite often you're using prayer less and less and less, or the prayers that you use are just rote and just words. So this is a very important and valuable weapon for us to use in the fight of our faith. There are many things that you and I have in our lives that deteriorate with use. iPhones and cars and books and clothing and everything else. But that's not the way it is with the gift of prayer. The more it is utilized, the stronger it becomes, and the more helpful and beneficial for us it becomes. And when you and I access this gift and pray to God, we are using all three persons of the Trinity. God the Father is the one to whom our prayers ascend. God the Son, by his blood, is the one who has paid for these prayers to make it to the ear of God so that they will be heard by shedding his blood for all of our sins. And the Holy Spirit is the one who activates this motor inside of us that desires to pray and wants to bring our requests to God. So let's utilize this wonderful gift from our Savior. What an amazing thing happens when our head hits the pillow at night and just in our thoughts, we ascend to God's throne with our petitions. Let us always appreciate this blessing. Amen.